It's going to be a great show. The day before, what's going on in the minds of the recruits and the new freshman class, the ones that have dread. Not been
it's
on
pure dread.
It really
and for the and for the poor really the poor suckers that haven't gone through it yet, buckle in, my friend. I doubt you're listening to us this morning, but let me
it's
tell you
it's a
something.
Rude awakening.
Buckle in.
I loved it when we had the guys who came from like tough high school.
Sure.
Oh man, yeah. My high school was tough. I said, listen, son, I'm just telling you, you've not been through anything like it. And I'm convinced that Tuscaloosa, humidity-wise,
oh, God,
has to be the hottest place in the world.
I'm gonna tell you about the Ring of Fire. That's a story I'm going to say for later this morning. Okay. But 2007, Ring of Fire. Just remember that.
Okay.
I asked you a question, though. Were you a nap guy? If you had time, did you nap?
Sometimes you would be so stressed about trying to get the nap that you never did. But I would try to lay down, at least lay down for a little bit.
So you know, you go like stir crazy during this time. Like you said, you've completely lost track of, you know, I always tell people, and this is, I'm not trying to be offensive, but like if a terrorist attack happened, like 9/11, I would have no clue.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Oh, you!
It'd be after football camp. And I'd be like, oh my God, somebody ran a plane into the Twin Towers. I would have no clue. Literally, no clue.
I am amazed at some of the interaction because now you can track what guys are doing because of their social media interaction and tweeting and posting. I am amazed because I'm telling you, Baron, I went from practice, ate, went to my room, and it felt like I went to my room, put my head on the pillow, and then stood up. And went back out. I mean, that's what it felt like. I may have actually laid down and slept, but it didn't feel like it. And then you did that, and then you as you say, you're almost zombie like walking to your car, getting your car, going over, getting out, and don't fool around and get hurt, and have to get treatment.
It's worse.
I mean, you've
shot your whole day because what'll happen is. You get done with practice, then you have to go to treatment, then you have to rush to get to lunch before they shut lunch down, then you got to go back for treatment before you go to film, then you go to practice.
Yes.
I had a scientific study going on during camp, and I came up with several different things. One of the hypotheses I had was that a nap did not work during the day.
And it does.
And it proved to be true. It actually hurts you.
It does.
Now, this is scientific fact, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do not help yourself out by taking a nap. You do not. You think you do, but you do not. It makes it that much harder. You got to worry about, make sure you set your alarm that you get up. Okay, so there's one stress. Doesn't work. Once you get up, you realize how bad your life sucks because you want to be asleep. So just don't even do it.
Yeah.
Don't go to sleep. Stay up. We would always play video games during that time to stay awake. You'd make, you know, little side bets like I'm going to get your brownie at midnight snack or whatever else. So you would stay up. You would keep your mind active. And it would take, you know, just a brief mental pause. Do not take a nap.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You want it to so bad. I mean.
Oh, it's hard.
The whole time you're stressing. Dude, if I fool around and I oversleep and if I. And then I'm not going to want to get up. And you spend more time while you're trying to go to sleep than you would have if you just stayed up.
Rule number one of football camp. I'm going to give you my three big ones. Rule number one, don't take a nap during the day.
No naps.
No naps. I'll tell you the other two throughout the morning. One of them I'm not sure if I can even say over the air, but we're going to push the limits, right?
Yeah.
I got three of them. One of them, don't take a nap during the middle of the day. 22 past the hour here on the home of Alabama Sports. Tide 99.1. Talking about social media, and you mentioned it this morning, Martin, how you see guys tweeting during practice. I didn't want to hold my phone. I didn't want to use my bicep muscle that much to hold my phone to look up. I'm serious. You cut corners.
Yeah. You save
conserve energy wherever you could conserve it. Social media, you know, you see Penn State drops a recruit yesterday because of some social media interactions. It's been on the forefront of conversation for a lot of people. And I want to go back to a conversation we had on Tuesday when we had the guy from Seattle on, talking about the Seattle Seahawks.
Brian Apker.
Apker, that's right. Pete Carroll is unique because he has a laissez-faire, hands-off approach to coaching. He lets his players, you know, be who they want to be. Be who you are. Be yourself. But when I go and look at that Seattle Seahawks team, now Richard Sherman has definitely stirred the pot. Okay. Now, whether that was, I think that was more marketing now that I look back at it than maybe really what he thought.
Yeah.
Either way, he's stirred the pot. But off the field, the guy has no issues.
Right.
I mean, you can't really shoot holes through anything. I mean, he was a scholar at school, apparently, which I didn't know. Yeah. I think he went to Stanford.
Yes.
you know, he's at least cerebral. You know, he's not out doing, pulling his girlfriend off the elevator by the hair like some other guys in the NFL. But it's easier for someone like Pete Carroll to say, be who you want to be when you've surrounded yourself with guys that you realize you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
My parents never had a curfew. You know what my rule was? If you think it's too late, it's too late. And I was home before 12 o'clock every time because I just knew it's probably too late for me to be home when I was in high school.
Yeah, I understand what
But they could say that to me. Now, some of my friends, their parents, you got to be home at 10 o'clock because I know 10 o'clock is going to mean 10:30.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. You can be more hands-off when you have when someone has equity of trust
right.
built up. That's kind of the way I'm seeing social media. It's easy to not care about it if you have people that are responsibly using it. It's when you don't, when it becomes bad. Where do you sit with social media in today's sport?
You know, I think it can be a good thing. It's like money to me. Social media is just like money. You can give one person $1,000 and there's going to be some good and a lot of good come out of it. Because they're going to use it responsibly. You give another person $1,000, and guess what? You may have just opened them up to getting into something that they would have never gotten into had you not given, and it could be used for bad. They may go out and get drugs. They may go out and use it to do different things. And so it's the user that you have to manage. And back to your point of Pete Carroll, Pete Carroll has the rules in the way he does because I think he vets his players. He looks at his players, and if they don't fit into that kind of that mold that he's looking for, then he doesn't bring them in. But the question is, one of the things he probably does is he looks at social media before he brings them in. He knows who they are, not just by what they say, but looking at their friends and their network of people and how they interact. And that's what got this young man at Penn State is – so. Social media.
What exactly happened there? Because I'm not privy to the conversation. I just know that there was an issue.
Coach Herb Hand, he's offensive line coach at Penn State. From everything I've been able to catch, they don't say what he did. I think they handled that correctly. And this, it doesn't appear to say what the young man did. It just says we're in the business. This is Coach Hand from Penn State. We're in the business of educating young men, and I'm very comfortable with my efforts in doing that in the past. If a guy, quote, now this is a quote, if a guy makes decisions to post or retweet stuff that degrades women, references drugs, or cyberbullying crap, then I can make a decision to drop them, especially if I have discussed it with them prior, and especially in today's climate of athletics. So
I respect him for it, man.
Yeah, when you look at this, to me, it's saying, hey, listen. You all out there saying I shouldn't look at his social media. I'm supposed to be holding these young men accountable. I'm supposed to be educating them and growing them up. And if I've talked to them and they're not responding, I'm seeing the real person. Because another one of his quotes says, dropped another prospect. This one just happened to make the news. Dropped another prospect this AM due to his social media presence. Actually glad I got to see the real person before we offered him. See, here's the thing. This guy is – some people are slamming Coach Hand. The reality of it is this is happening in everyday life, in every recruit's life. They just don't know it. See, this guy was bold enough to come out and say, listen, this is why I did it. I looked at his social media. I looked at what he was posting. I looked at his network of friends. I looked at who we were bringing in. People do it in business and everywhere.
Let me ask you, because I've thought about this in my own personal life. Is it even worth having? What is the benefit? What is the benefit of it? I think you can only be eliminated by what you say on social media. I don't believe that there's a benefit to it. Now, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. So, yeah. You know, I'm one of these people that I'm posing, a somewhat of a rhetorical question. I ask this of myself. Obviously, for the show, it's a good way to interact. But for me personally, why do I need it? Why it can do nothing but eliminate, right? I mean,
I think
if somebody's just tweeting anything that doesn't stick out, it doesn't add to your character. I mean, the coach doesn't look at it and go, oh, that's a great tweet. Oh, that's a really good.
You're talking about from individual standpoint or from a recruit standpoint?
From a recruit standpoint. Well, I mean, I'm looking at it individually because I'm no longer a recruit. But if you were a recruit, what value does it add to you?
Only if you're just interacting with and staying connected with recruits and stuff you meet from around the country and friends and things like that. You're not talking about in general, because there's some good stories that come from Facebook interaction. And I met a lady that she's in her 20s and she met her dad 3 years ago or somewhere in that time frame on Facebook.
Okay.
And they reconnected. So, I mean, there's some great stories out there, but in terms of what you're tweeting and your purpose, I think is to the point. Why are you on social media? Well, Houston and Huber is on there because we're building a brand. I'm on there from a standpoint with what I'm doing with Alpha Insurance. I'm on there because I want people to know what I'm doing. I'm building and I try to give out tips and ideas and be a source. Well, some people just on there so that they can gossip, Baron, so that they can, you know, when we were growing up, we had party lines, and we had one lady, and you guys probably don't know what that is, but we had people in our neighborhood that every time you picked up the phone, you knew they were listening to try to get the scoop on the news so they could go blab it to everybody around and tell everybody what's going on. Well, that's what some people use social media for, and that's what these coaches are beginning to do. Urban Meyer himself, and I think he's only not the only one, says that he has a guy. A coach, an individual, an employee, whatever you want to call it, that part of their role and responsibility is to monitor social media for the players, recruits, incoming class, and future recruits. The thing about it, Baron, is what we don't understand is people right now. I know for a fact I talked to a human resource. She was a human resource manager. She said, before we do interviews, we go and look at social media. And there are people who have posted pictures from their college days who we didn't bring in because we saw what they did. And I'm thinking, you know,
I'm just thankful that stuff really wasn't around when I was around.
That's what you start going to. Because my question always, have we always been this stupid as humans?
No.
We just now got videos. We've always been probably this stupid.
Correct.
It used to be you'd be out in the woods and you'd tell your boy, hey, watch this, and you do it.
Sure.
But now you say, hey, watch this, and somebody whips out a camera.
31 past the hour, we'll take a break here. Come back. I want to get your thoughts on, is it okay to completely eliminate it? Is it infringing upon people's rights? Do you stand behind the fact that an organization or an institution can say no social media, you're not allowed to have it? Is it fair? Is it right? 32 past the hour, we'll take a break here on the home of Alabama Sports. Tide 99.1 and Tide 99.1.com.